Welcome to the Dentistry Speaks podcast, hosted by members of the Speaking Consulting Network. We interview leaders, meeting planners, and pioneers to help aspiring and seasoned dental speakers polish their skills and reach their potential.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast, brought to you by the Speaking Consulting Network. My name is Kevin Henry. I'm honored to be the host of this podcast, and I'm honored and happy as well to be joined by a dear friend and a member of SCN, and that is Dana Watson. Hey, Dana.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Kevin. I'm doing great. So happy to be with you.
Always good to hear your voice, my friend. I know what an awesome human being you are, but I'd love for our audience to know a little bit more about you. So do you mind just doing a quick introduction?
Sure. I'm a member of SCN, as Kevin said. I was a high school teacher for 10 years and ended up working in my husband, who was a dentist, in his office starting in like 2002. And slowly but surely kind of got into teaching again, doing team trainings and speaking, and are being able to share that side of my passion about dentistry with others.
And we're glad that you do, because voices like yours are needed out there, especially in today's hiring environment. And I know one of the things that you are very tuned into is how emotional intelligence plays a role in today's hiring environment. And I'm curious, let's go back to the very basics. Emotional intelligence, kind of crystallize that for us so we can know what we're really talking about when we dive in today.
Well, it's been around, you know, in the leadership talk world for probably 20 years, but I feel like in the last five has become more in the forefront as the hiring process changes and how we're looking differently at who we hire. But I think it started out to be so scientific, you know, IQ versus EQ, and we had to make it all mysterious. It's not mysterious at all. It is just being able to acknowledge and manage your emotions and those of others, as simply put as we can put it.
That's simply put. I love that, because even I can understand that. So that's fantastic. So whenever we talk about that EI in hiring, how do we bring out that emotional intelligence, not only maybe in the interviewer, but in the interviewee as well?
All right. So two pieces of that we could spend hours on either way is, you know, the emotional intelligence or EQ of the leader, the manager, the doctor, the person hiring, and the other side of it, being able to develop that and recognize it in potential employees. So I love that Dental Post has been doing this for a while. That's actually one of the things that is on, and I'm not being paid by them to say that, but as a person who is a dental office manager who hires, I look very closely at the DISC profile that they provide, and also the emotional intelligence test. It tells me what percentage they rank in self-awareness. That's the very first step in getting a grasp on the emotional intelligence of yourself or someone else. So I look closely at that. And there are Harvard studies and a lot of other business journal studies that say 71% or higher now of employees are looking for emotional intelligence in their team members, even more so than any of their technical skills or clinical skills if you're in dentistry. Because as you can imagine, someone who can manage their emotions is going to bring less drama to the workplace. They're going to be more committed to their work. The studies will go on and on about what they bring to the table, as opposed to just worrying about, can they do this job specifically?
So they're bringing less drama to the practice, but are they also better communicating with each other and with the patient as well if they've got this high EQ or this high self-awareness,
yeah.
I should say?
Absolutely. And that's where I was going to go next with that, is communication is the buzzword. Hey, we need better communication skills. What better communication do for our team members or for our practices or for me as a consultant or a speaker? And then we know that involves scripting and verbiage and power words. And how do I say this and how do I say that? But on the flip side of that, the question we need to be asking, whether we are a potential employee or a leader practice manager, is how am I being perceived? Are my communication skills being heard as I meant for them to be presented? Do I have the respect level because of how I handled that verbiage or that scripting or those things? Because that's where the relationships build, and that's where the communication opens up. And that's where the importance of emotional intelligence is going to come in, is in that conversation and where you go with it. when conflict comes up or any other piece of uncomfortable information that might arise in the office.
Well, I always love during, you know, interviews or whenever we have, shall we say, evaluations or whatever it might be. So often we want the other person to change or do something differently. We don't look in the mirror often and say, well, I need to do something differently as well.
Yes, and I, not to pick on my doctors, but, you know, I think because I'm married to one, I can say this, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, and having a consulting background, I do think that we feel like, hey, this is my practice. This is how I do things. You're going to fit into this mold or you're out of here. And that's easy to say, and you can follow that if you want to, but the turnover will be high because it's such a two-way street on the communication. Be the model for the kind of leadership that we want to see in our team members. And that starts with being an effective communicator and being able to manage and recognize your own emotions.
Love that. I think that's good for any of us. You know, Dana, one thing that I'm seeing, and I know you are as well, are so many people are coming from outside the dental industry into the dental industry now, and they don't have the dental background. They don't have the terminology. So is EQ even more important now, knowing that you're hiring somebody that'll need to be trained, as well as obviously fit into the culture and everything else?
I absolutely believe so. And reason being, it is a form of discipline. If you decide, I want to be more emotionally intelligent, without saying those words, you might actually be thinking, I want to have better relationships with my employees or with my teammates or with my manager. I want to be someone who can build better relationships, be an encourager, be more influential on people. Those are the people who are going to take the four parts of emotional intelligence and look at them, and the very first one being self-awareness. So if you have that type of person that you hire, they already have the discipline to know and grow and learn. And from the studies that I've read show that they will carry that type of work ethic into the other parts of the job, learning the skill that they need to do the job, because the attitude about doing the job is already there. Does that make sense?
It does. Absolutely. And I know one other thing that you're very passionate about is the leadership side of things. And I know you talk about voices of leadership and what it takes to really become a leader. And I think, you know, you and I touched on this just a moment ago, but being self-aware of your own weak spots, shall we say, I think is a big part of being a leader as well.
Yes, you have to, part of that self-awareness, part of the leadership class that I teach, the five voices of leadership, it's been around for a few years. Just before COVID, this book came out. Jeremy Kubicek and Steve Cochran were Myers-Briggs trainers. They were very big in the Myers-Briggs world. They wanted something that we can grasp a hold of and use in the workplace or with our families or somewhere where we can really understand the importance of being heard and really understand the different ways that we communicate. And as leaders, we're going to have all types of people under us, whatever the profession might be, and understanding how we communicate with them and how they hear us is part of that first step of the self-awareness. So if we could mesh these voices of leadership and how to increase your emotional intelligence together, we could be formulating some of the greatest workplaces that everyone would want to be, because you're going to have that harmony. You're going to have that like-mindedness. You're going to have the openness to know you can communicate without stepping on toes. We can get somewhere with conflict. We can create a more positive experience when we deal with that stuff if we'll just spend the time learning these things.
And it does take time. And, you know, we all want less conflict in our lives. And, you know, I'm such a big believer in DISC and personality assessments and everything else. And I know there are a lot of dentists and hiring managers that think, well, if everybody just thought the same way, it would be so great. It'd be so perfect. But we need those different personalities in our practice to give different viewpoints and to kind of be devil's advocate sometimes, right?
That's right. And that's one of the big proponents of the guys who wrote that book, The Five Voices of Leadership. You really want to have all the voices represented in your team, because when we're open to understanding where our weakness is, when we have someone to fill that gap, there's even greater harmony, greater team unity, more profitability in your practice. It's a better atmosphere. The patients feel it. It's kind of the foundation of that growth of a practice. that is almost invisible, but yet it's almost tangible too, because it's so there that you can almost feel it, you can see it, you can know it. One of the two spectrums that we have in the Five Voices of Leadership, if you've ever been to one of those classes that I have, is the pioneer on one end and the nurturer on the other. And they're so opposite, but each one of those voices or types of leadership have something to offer and mentor for the opposite, what we call their nemesis voice, for lack of a better word. Me as a nurturer and my husband, the dentist, as a pioneer, had a hard time communicating early on in our marriage. But once we learn those things about each other, and I know how I need to approach him and he knows how he needs to approach me, we can take that into the practice and use it with the employees as well. We spend time getting to know what their voices are or what their disc profile is. That's how we learn to be better communicators and how we learn to have better harmony in our practices and create that culture, which is another buzzword, but it's so important that we really want. All of it takes work, right?
You can't just snap your fingers. It's not that easy.
Oh, I would be rich if we could figure that out, right?
That would be nice, right? You know, and I want to go back to a word that you mentioned just a moment ago, and that's the patience. You know, because every different personality, every different type of person is going to walk through your doors, whether you're a pediatric dentist, a general dentist, whatever. You're going to have different personalities sitting in your chair. So to have those different personalities in the practice that can actually interact and click with those patients is a big thing as well.
Right. And the more time you spend getting to know yourself and getting to know others, you'll start recognizing those things in the patient. And you'll know who needs that long, a little more nurturing discussion, or who just wants the facts. You know, who is going to follow all the rules? Who's going to ask the most questions? Who's not going to bring the details to the appointment? You just start seeing it in people. And I think it's so interesting to do that as well. I think it just helps us find that way to connect with the patients when you understand them better.
It's so funny because my hygienist and I were just talking the other day about, she said that there are certain people that, you know, they have to go through every photo on their phone, show you grandkids, give you the life whenever they walk in. And she's like, I actually need to schedule more time for those patients,
yeah,
or rearrange my schedule knowing that that's important to them.
Mm-hmm. Or learn the transition to get them out of that place. But yeah, and then some you'll never even know if they have a child. You're never going to, I mean, this, you know, we have to meet people where they are, but also mentor for them how we want them to be as leaders. Very simply said, a little tougher to do.
It is a little tougher to do for sure. But it's also something that post-COVID and in today's hiring environment, we have to get to know those people that we're bringing into our practice on just not just a surface level. They can't just have a heartbeat. They've actually got to have something to bring to the practice. And that's why I think things like this are so essential.
Yeah, there are positive things that came out of COVID. Dentistry was turned upside down, but we're finding our way back to the top and taking the things that we learned from it that were good and using them. And I think this is one of the things, you know.
Well, like you said, we could have spent hours on each of those subjects. I know we've only got a limited amount of time on this podcast.
Right.
So make sure, how do people learn more about you, get a hold of you, be able to ask you questions, and maybe even bring you in to talk to their teams?
Oh, absolutely. On my website are the programs that I teach. My email is on there. My cell phone is on there. There's also just a chat box on there, but it's DanaSpeaksDental.com. Really simple. DanaSpeaksDental.com. Love to hear from you.
And we'll absolutely have that link in the show notes so you guys can hopefully just copy and paste or click on it, and it will get right to Dana, who's, like I said, a tremendous human being, tremendous friend, as well as, you know, I'm going to say, you won a speaking competition in your time as well. I sat there at SCN and heard you talk. Fantastic stuff, my friend.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm so happy to be with you guys today. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thanks to all of you who listened to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast. We love bringing experts together from around the industry to talk about today's hot topics. That's what we did today with Dana. And that's what we're going to do next time when we get back together here on the Dentistry Speaks podcast.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more, visit speakingconsultingnetwork.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Dentistry Speaks podcast.